weekend and a good week. School getting back started. Did everybody make it, I'm assuming? Yeah. Some of y'all are like, no, I didn't make it. I barely got through. All right. We're going to keep on our study. Did anybody... I don't want to embarrass anybody, so that's not my point here. But did anybody do the challenge that I gave y'all last week? Anybody read those scriptures and keep that up this week? Awesome. That is good to hear. That it will help you more than you think that it will, just to read the Word of God, especially if you haven't done it in a while. And I've been in those places in my life where I've gone and I've done really well, and I've read, and I've stayed on top of it, and you know, you're just trucking through that thing, and then there's been those moments and times in my life where I've gotten away from it, and then I realize how much I need the Word of God, how much it encourages me, how much it gives me the answers that I need for what I'm going through in that day. And I don't think we understand how important it is sometimes. We just get to where we just show up and go to church on Sundays, because that's what you've always done, right? But we forget how important it is to really read and study the Word of God. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about the studying side. Just like reading, studying should be done every single day. And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, it should be pretty easy if you're reading it. I know I'm a preacher, so I constantly am thinking about ideas to preach, and I'm thinking about things to teach, and I'm going through all these things. I told my dad last night, we were talking a little bit later last night, and I said, you know, it's one thing. I said, I'm having this trouble as being a pastor. There's one thing I have trouble with. It's I can sit here and study for Sunday school lessons, okay, and I can try to put all this stuff together, but what I find myself doing is I start on Monday trying to get ready for something, and I end up working on Sunday school and studying, and then I've consumed most of my week studying for Sunday school. And I got 3 or 4 weeks worth of Sunday school material that I can't do. And I'm sitting there going, man, I got so much stuff. But then I realized, man, I didn't get me a sermon to preach either. I didn't put that together. You know, and I may have something that comes to my mind, an idea, and I've realized I put so much effort into studying this. But that's not a bad thing to study the Word of God. It's not wrong to study the Word of God. It's not wrong to get in the Word of God and just keep on going and keep on going. I think we get a little bit afraid of that sometimes. You feel like you're just kind of going down that little hole, and you just feel like you're never going to see the end of the tunnel. And here's the thing, you probably won't. It's the Word of God. It's a living book. It's something that just keeps giving you something every time you pick it up. You can read the same scripture over and over and over again and get a different application every time you read it. Because it's a living book. It's the Word of God. And so I think studying is a very important thing to do. Reading is very important. We looked at that last week, and I'm not going to try to recap a lot of that. I'm just going to kind of move on into the second part of this. So studying, like reading, should be done every single day. We know 2 Timothy 2:15 is some scriptures I use very often, and I'm probably going to use them very often, whether you like it or whether you don't, because it's good. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's something you've heard all your life. It's a scripture most of you can probably quote yourself. But do you really take it to heart? Do you truly study the Word of God? Reading is great. Okay, I love to read it. But do you ever stop and break it down just a little bit? Have you ever get to the point when you're reading the Word of God and you come across a passage and you sit there, that's my beautiful wife of 12 years right there. Amen. 12 years she stayed with me. Can you believe it? I hope I make it to 13. I love her to death. It is our anniversary today. Amen. I know y'all are sitting there going, I can't believe somebody would stay with you that long. I can't believe it either. But no, just like reading the Word of God, when you're reading through and you're going through and you're doing your daily Bible reading and you've been doing it this past week or whatever, you ever come across something and go, huh, what's that mean? Does it ever just go in your mind and say, I'd like to look at that a little bit deeper? That's what you should do. Study the Word of God. And everybody sits there and goes, well, I don't know how to study. That's the main problem, right? The main problem is you don't know how to study the Word of God. That's what you hear all the time. Here's what baffles me about that, okay? There's a lot of teachers here, and all of y'all have been a student at some point in time, right? Everybody been to school. I ain't saying everybody graduated. I'm just saying everybody been. Amen. I barely made it through. But everybody's been to school. You had to study for something in school, didn't you? You had to study for stuff in your job, didn't you? You know, I didn't know how to print signs until I started printing signs. I didn't know how to fix printers until I started fixing printers. I had to study some stuff. I had to look at how it was laid out, how it worked. I didn't know how to be a phlebotomist, but guess what? They taught me. They put me through courses and said, this is how you stick veins, this is how you do all these things. You know what? I didn't know how to sing that well at some point in time in my life. I know everybody says, oh, it's just a God-given talent. No, I worked for that. Why? Because I went to school for it. I went to voice lessons. I learned how to develop my voice and get better at it and use it correctly so that I could keep doing it. So the Bible's no different, right? You act like it's so much more complicated. But the Bible's not any different than anything else in your life. You just have to apply yourself to it. That's the problem. We don't want to apply ourselves. We don't want to sit there and actually say, hey, let's study the Word of God. Let me break it down. The best way that you can study the Word of God, here's one of the main things you can do. Get the full context of what you're reading. That will help you out more than anything you do, is get the full context of what you are reading. You can sit there and read passage scripture, and it may be midway in that chapter. And you may sit there and go, that right there, I really want to study that. But you might have to read the chapter or the couple of chapters before or a couple of chapters after to get the context of what that verse is actually talking about. That's when we go back to our dispensational study that we talked about a few weeks ago. If you want to know what's for you and what's to you, you have to know how to rightly divide the word of truth, right? So if you're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth so that you understand what is to you and what is for you, you have to know the full context of what the verse is talking about. It's very important to do those things. Some people try to just take a scripture and make it fit how they want to. There's a lot of preachers that do that nowadays. They just take a scripture and they open it up and say, well, that's pretty good. But they didn't take the time to actually study the full context of the scripture, and they take something out of context, and now everybody's confused. That's why you have so many religious problems nowadays. Because everybody just takes the piece they want, and they use that, and then they have no doctrinal basis on anything. So you have to study the Word of God daily. Take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. How many of you have, if I raise a hand, how many of you have ever had to prepare a sermon, Sunday school lesson, or anything like that? How many of you had ever had to do that? Okay, a handful of you have had to do that, okay? So you've actually had to take the Word of God and study it out. Now, I'm not talking about just reading a book, okay? I'm talking about, like, you got it out of the Word of God. You actually had to study something out of the Word of God. You may have had a book that directed you in a place, but you actually studied the Word of God to put something together. That is very, very important. That's why you have the book that you follow on Wednesday nights, and I don't have any problem with that. I think that's fine to have a book that you follow by. But you've always heard me say, the book can't be the final authority on things. You can't just take what everybody says, because you have no idea who wrote those books. They could have came from over there or over here, or they may not be dispensationally sound. They may not believe doctrinally like you believe. I've got some material that I've read that Paul Chappell put out. Paul Chappell is a massive independent Baptist church in California. He's a good preacher, okay? He's a great preacher. And he's got a lot of good material. And I would like to use some of his material, and probably will at some point in time, because his family stuff is incredible. Just going through his how to raise kids and how to have a better marriage and how to have a better family. It's some good stuff that he's got in there. But he is not dispensationally sound at all. He's just not. It's not knocking him. He just don't know it. He hasn't studied that part of it. So when I look at his material, sometimes I have to sit there and go, hey, this doesn't completely line up. He's just trying to make it fit. He's just trying to make it sound good. So you have to be careful when you grab books and you grab things like that, that you're actually taking the Word of God and sitting there going, hey, does it really line up dispensationally? Is it really rightly divided, or is it just a bunch of fancy things that people say? Because we have cliche things that we've said in church for years, right? Everybody, yeah. You've heard sayings all your life, and I could give you a handful of them that would probably make you really think. And I'm going to stay away from them for right now because I don't know if you handle all that. I might be surprised, but I'm going to tell you right now, some of them probably make y'all upset with me. But I'm going to give you this, little nugget because I was talking about it last night with my dad. There's a saying in church, and I'm not going to say what the saying is. Some of you will catch it and some of you won't, and that's fine. The ones who do, good. The ones who don't, fine. There's a saying in church they use for salvation all the time. I've heard every preacher that's been on your little online thing. I listen to them, okay? I've heard them. And they make this statement all the time, and it's about salvation. And I understand the context of what they're saying, but you've never heard me say it. Not one time have I said it, because it's not dispensationally sound. It's not rightly divided. I listen to every preacher. Every preacher at some point in time has made that statement from this pulpit. And I understand the context of it, okay? And I've heard it all of my life. But it's not dispensationally sound. And some of y'all thinking, that's good. That's what I want you to do. I want you to think. I want you to use that brain God gave you just a little bit. Not everything you hear in church is just facts. Sometimes you've got to study it a little farther out. Why? Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a pretty good place to start right here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I commanded thee in this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, I would say the thing, when you read these scriptures, that means he's doing it pretty often, right? Word of God's telling you, hey, you probably ought to keep the Word of God on your mind often. Now, why would you want to keep it in your mind often? And we know in Psalms it tells us to hide the Word of God in your heart, right? Now, I don't know every scripture. Can't quote all of them. I'm not Peter Ruckman. Some of y'all that know Peter Ruckman know that dude could just quote it. Amazing. Photographic memory. I can't do that, but I can quote a lot of it. I can quote, but God commended his love towards us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can quote that. You know why? That's salvation right there. What's he talking about? You got to be able to give an answer to somebody. Is the Word of God that important to you? Is the Word of God that important in your life? That you're sitting there saying, hey, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think about is, can I get in the Bible? Can I study it? Can I learn something outside of it? The last thing that you think about before you go to bed, is it the Word of God? When you get around all your friends and all the people that you hang around with, do you actually talk about the Word of God? Now, you say, well, we don't do that all the time. Me and Brother Scott was on the phone yesterday. I went to Buckmaster's. Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't have nothing I wanted. I'm just playing. They had a lot of stuff I wanted, just stuff I couldn't afford. We were talking on the phone. We talked about hunting stuff. But we talked about Bible, too. We didn't talk about it yesterday. We talk about Bible. Me and Brother Thomas talk a lot on the phone. He won't leave me alone. I don't know. Me and Brother Thomas talk a lot. He calls, checks on me, how's work going? We talk about, we mostly complain about it being hot or something like that. It's usually how it goes. But we sit there and we talk on the phone. And we don't always talk about Bible. But we do some. We do some. Me and Brother Randy talked. We don't always talk. We may talk about cutting grass. We may talk about something else. But we talk about God too. Brother Tim's the same way. We talked about it. I told you on the phone this week. You don't always talk about things of God, but it ought to get there every once in a while. If God is not in your conversation at all, ever, I'd check up. Is he the last thing on your mind? Because in Deuteronomy, he's telling you, hey, this probably ought to be in the forefront of your mind all the time. You see, if it's in the forefront of your mind, that's when you'll start studying it a little bit more. Because it'll mean something to you. Why else would you want to study the Word of God? Why else would you want to study it? So you can give an answer to somebody when they ask something, right? We all have doctrinal beliefs, right? Two of you do. You all have doctrinal beliefs. You all have biblical beliefs. That's something you believe in, right? Well, here's the one thing that we would all agree on, right? This is the infallible, inerrant Word of God, King James Bible. Okay? It's inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. It's perfect in every way. Doesn't need to be touched. Doesn't need to be corrected. Doesn't need to be manipulated. It's just the Word of God right there. Okay? We would agree on that. There's a problem in independent Baptists, though. There's a big problem with that. You know what it is? They'll shout it from there, but they can't tell you why. What about you? If somebody walked up to you tomorrow and said, you say you believe the King James Bible, why? Can you give them an answer? Now, I've done this long enough to know, and I talk to enough people because I work with a bunch of them that do not believe this, okay? You're never going to give them a satisfactory answer, okay? It's always going to be a back and forth thing. And it's going to come down to one point in time where you just have to sit there and say, well, you're going to believe it or not. But I can give you some facts. I can tell you what they tampered with and what they didn't tamper with. I can even take you when you want to sit there and let's go to Greek and Hebrew way. I can take you that direction too, because that's changed also. Shocker, right? That blows your mind. If they could destroy the Word of God, they'll do it any way they can. Even if they have to go back to the originals that nobody can hold. I hold it right here. God wrote it. I like that ringtone. Not as good. That's a good one for a piano player, too. I like that. That is awesome. It's the Word of God. But do you actually know why you believe it? Have you studied it enough to know why you believe it? When somebody asks you about salvation, can you actually show them in the Word of God how that they know that they know that they're saved? That is like elementary level things right there to me. That is a very elementary thing to me. If you can't open up the Word of God and just show somebody how they can know what their hope is, man, if you can't do that, I'd start studying now. Like right in the middle of Sunday school, just start studying that, because it'd be better. You better be able to tell somebody how they can know what their hope is. You better be able to show somebody Jesus Christ, because you might get asked that one day. You might walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know where you're going to spend your eternity? And they may say no. Oh me, what you going to do then? I know they don't always give that answer. Sometimes they just say whatever. That's what you come to expect. But one day you're going to walk up to somebody and they're going to say, no, I don't. And you better be able to open up the Word of God and tell them how. You better be able to show them in the Word of God how they can know that they're saved. You have different doctrinal beliefs. Why do you believe eternal security? Amen, right? Ephesians 4:30, sealed to the day of redemption. I mean, why do you believe it? Did you know that verse? Is it in your heart? You may not be able to give me reference. You may not be able to quote it exactly right, but did you know, hey, I know that I'm eternally secure. I can't get out. God sealed me. He sealed me to the day of redemption. Guess what? I couldn't get out if I wanted to. I can't do enough bad. Amen. That's good right there. Can't do enough bad. But do you know it? When somebody comes to ask you, can you tell them? You say, well, I ain't never had nobody ask me. I had them ask me. That's because you're a preacher. It was before I was a preacher. It was back when I was in college. Because Free Will Baptists don't believe the same way Independent Baptists do, if y'all didn't know that. They believe you can commit apostasy. They believe you can reject it. Are they good people? Yeah. They're fine people. There's a lot of good preachers at Free Will Baptist. A lot of friends of mine. But they don't believe in eternal security. And I had a bunch of boys, a bunch of preacher boys come in there and say they're gonna fix me. This is before I was a preacher. I was just a singer. I was just trying to survive college. Trying to get me a little business degree. That's all I wanted to do. I wasn't trying to bother anybody. The only reason I was there is because Ashley told me to go there. You can get you a music scholarship. We should have never went. Should have learned how to weld or something. Everybody, no, don't do that. But I had a bunch of guys say, come in, they were going to fix my doctrine. And I sit there and say, well, what you're saying in Hebrews and what you're saying in James, that's to a different people. That ain't dispensationally sound at all. That is not rightly dividing the word of truth according to 2 Timothy 2:15. You're taking something out of context. You're taking something to a Jewish people. You're taking something to a tribulational period of time. And you're trying to make it fit in this day and age? Do you study it that much? Do you study it that much? Study the Word of God. It's got to be deeper than that to you. It's got to mean a little bit more than just another book. I've come into that over the past few months, and it's really bothered me a lot. I know, maybe it doesn't bother you, but it sure bothers me. I'm sick and tired of these people that pick up this Word of God, and they'll pick up this one. They'll pick up them a King James Bible. They'll pick up the right thing. But they're just trying to figure something out. It's like a history book. It's just trying to just get an answer for some stupid question, right? You say, well, there is no stupid questions. I've heard some. That was a lie they told you in school. I've heard some stupid questions. But here's the thing. They open up this Word of God, and they're just trying to figure out when God's coming back. And we talked about that, right? Why don't you quit worrying about when God comes back? Why don't you start worrying about what you're going to do during the time that He's not coming back yet? Why don't you start telling somebody else about Jesus Christ? That'd do your time a whole lot better than trying to figure out the date. If the Son of God Himself don't know, guess what? You probably ain't going to know. I hate to burst your bubble. Now, if you got some extra time and you want to try to go through it, by all means, have fun. I've been down that wormhole. I can give you my thoughts on it. But guess what? That's just my opinion. There ain't no fact on it, okay? There's a little bit of Bible in there, but ain't a whole lot of fact to it. Do you study the Word of God so that you can help somebody, so that you can give an answer for the questions that you're asked? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready to give an answer about what you believe? I love the scripture. I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that He is able to keep them, to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I love that scripture. You see, I know what I believed in. But can you tell somebody else what you believed in? It's got to be more than just thoughts. It's got to be Bible. You know, people don't really care about how many things you know until you give them some kind of fact, right? That's what science does. Science tries to just tell you these big things and all this pretty stuff, and they word it a nice way. Why? To try to get you to thinking about stuff and try to get you, but they never really give you a fact. They never say, hey, this is just definite. This is what happened. They can't give you a whole lot of answers when it comes to that. It's always just a study, right? It's always just a study. There's a fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. It's a fact. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for everybody outside these doors right here. He shed his blood for every single person in this whole entire world. He did that. Do you study it enough to tell them? Now, I know everybody gets on this kick about, well, the preachers are supposed to tell you everything, right? Why do we do that? Why has church come to that? Anybody got an answer for me? I went to school to learn it. Supposed to know more than you. And I'm what? I thought you said I was stubborn. I am that too. That's what I heard out of that ear right there. I heard stubborn. I would agree with you completely, though, if you said that. I love that one right there, boy. Woo, I love that one. That's my job. It's a preacher's job to give you all the answers, right? Like a union. That's right. We can get into that later. Exactly. How did you word that? I think that's exactly where the problem lies. I think that's exactly where the problem lies. All your life, you've watched somebody get up behind that pulpit that acted like they was on a different level than you. And even if they didn't act like it, you were told to respect it that way, right? Now, should you respect that office? Yes, you should respect the pastor, okay? Don't misunderstand me. You respect that place. God gave me a calling, and you should respect that, okay? But I'm no different than you. I'm no different from you. I'm no different than anybody else in here. That's why I love that one about it's my job. What's your job? Oh, my job is to be a teacher. No, what's your job? Be a welder? Be a welder instructor? Cut trees down? I know it's more than that, but... What's your job? I thought all our job was to study the Word of God. I thought that was everybody's job. I thought it was everybody's job to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. I thought that was everybody's job. Just because I hold some title at pastor doesn't mean that it's just my job. Guess what? I love doing it. I love studying the Word of God. I wish I had more time to do it. That's why I've always said, being a full-time pastor is what every preacher wishes to be. Why? Because they can study more. When you work all week, we've worked a lot this week. I got two babies at home. I got a wife. Guess what? It don't stop till 8:30 or 9 o'clock. It doesn't stop. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to try to cram studying in, and you're half asleep trying to function before you go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And you still got to cut grass at some point in time. I still got, you know, just normal stuff that has to be done. I still got to go get groceries at some point in time during the day, during the week. So guess what? It's a perfect world to sit there and say, hey, I'd love to be a full-time pastor. And I'm working at that. I'm trying my best. But here's the thing. We're all called to study the Word of God. Guess what? I'm not exempt just because I have a job. I work just like every single one of y'all do right now. I still get up here and do it. Amen? I do the same thing you do. Some of y'all retired. What do y'all do? It's still your job, right? The Word of God. The Word of God. Just because the preacher says it doesn't mean it's always right. It's just facts. I told you earlier, there's a statement they make all the time, but it ain't dispensationally sound. Now, there's application to being the shepherd. But you a soldier. You're fighting a good fight. You ain't meek sheep anymore. That's Israel. That's my point. We're all in the fight. Every single one of us. Every single one of us have a job to do. And you have to read it, and you have to study it. And you have to read it, and you have to study it. And you have to study it, and you have to read it. And you have to do it every single solitary day. You have to pick it up, and you have to do it every single day. When you don't want to, pick it up anyways. When you don't want to go to work, you go anyway. When you don't want to cut another yard, guess what? You just keep pushing and cut another yard. When you don't want to go to the school, guess what? You get up and you go anyway, because that's your job. Hey, this is more important. This is your job. Ain't no part-time Christians. Ain't no part-time Christians. It's full-time every single day. 24 hours a day. It's never an off switch on that. It's always on. It's always ready to go. It's always ready to help. It's always ready to give an answer for what you believe in. It's always to give an answer for somebody who's looking for something. The only way that you're going to fix somebody is with the Word of God. I heard that yesterday. I thought it was the greatest thing. I was at Buckmaster's talking to a guy that runs a ministry. I cannot remember the name of it now. Anyways, they help vets. They help veterans. And they put these hunts on. I thought it was the coolest idea. And I talked to him for about an hour. And I sit there and I was sitting there talking to him about it, and I was asking him, I said, it's a Christian organization. He said, yeah. I said, I'm a pastor in Andalusia. And I got to sign up for some stuff about people needing some help and different things like that. And so, because they don't have a pastor in this area that'll talk to anybody. So, amen, hallelujah. Another job. So I was like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. Anybody you can send my way, I'd love to talk to them. Love to help them out. And they take people on these hunts, and he was talking about, you know, we know as Christians, he said, we know as people that have believed in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He said, we know this, that the only way that they're truly going to get help is through Jesus Christ. Shooting a deer ain't going to help them. It may help some of the pain. It may help their mind just a little bit. But he said, the only thing that's going to ultimately help somebody is knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And he said, and we take our opportunities to be able to give devotionals and do things like that and be able to give the gospel to people. He said, we don't try to shove it down their throat. We try to use the hunting as a way to do that. And I thought it was a great thing. But he made a good point. That's the only thing that helps people. When everything falls apart in somebody's life, you ought to be able to help them with that Word of God. That's the reason why, if you ask me for counseling, I ain't got no problem with it, okay? You ask me for counseling, we'll counsel. But guess what I'm going to ask you first? If you come to me about any problem in your life, and you say, hey, I need counseling, this is the first thing I'm going to ask you, okay? When's the last time you picked it up and read it? And you get with me next week. You say, that's wrong. No, that's right. Let's let God fix some people before everybody else starts putting their opinions in it. Amen? If you'll read the Word of God, guess what? It'll fix a lot of your problems. You got issues going on? Read it. It'll help you. We'll counsel after you've read it. Why? Because you might find out, hey, God knew what He's talking about. Hey, God went through some trials too, didn't He? Amen? Stood on that mountain with the devil, right? That's a lot of temptation right there, ain't it? And boy, there's a lot of application in them scriptures too. You ever feel like you've been tempted about something? You ought to read them. You'll show you how much you hadn't been tempted. It'll show you just how small you really are in the scheme of things. Because you ain't on God's level. You wasn't Jesus Christ talking to the devil himself. I want you to study the Word of God. I want you to read it. I want you to be able to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ mostly. But I want you to understand why you believe what you believe. When you get up and you make statements about being eternally secure, when you make statements about believing the King James Bible is the infallible and inerrant Word of God, when you make all those statements, when you say you're dispensationally sound, when you say you rightly divide the Word of truth, when you say all of these things, I want you to know why you believe it. I don't want you to just come ask me all the questions. I don't mind asking me stuff. You ask me anything you want to, but I want you to at least study it every once in a while. I'd rather you come up to me. Brother Chad does this a lot, and I love it about Brother Chad. I do. I really do. This is great about him. He sits there, and he'll come and ask me a question, but guess what he does? He says, I was reading this the other day. I don't know if you... That's how you ask a question. I love how they ask that question like that, because you open up the Word of God. That way, you know what that means? That means he's in it. I may not be able to give him the answer that he wants. I may not be able to know all the things, but I can get him an answer. But here's the thing. He's in the Word of God. But when you just come up and say, hey, why shouldn't we speak in tongues? Maybe you ought to read a little bit about it and then come ask me what you think about it, okay? I'm just saying. I don't mind the questions, but I'd at least like to know that you're in the Word of God a little bit. Amen? How many of you are going to keep reading the Word of God kind of on the same format that I started this past week? How many will commit to do that? If you ain't going to commit to it, don't raise your hand. I'm fine with that. You ain't got to lie to me. And now the next thing. I'm going to throw another one in it, okay? When you find you something, one little nugget of something in the Word of God that you're reading those scriptures, okay? When you find you something in there, will you study it for the week? You ain't got to study it a lot. Just take you the week. You find you one nugget over the first couple of days of reading. You'll find one in the first couple of days, trust me. And study it. Just study it through. Actually look into it. Look at the whole context of what it's talking about. Try to break it down a little bit. Try to look at some different things. Google will help you. Or destroy you. I'm not sure which one. Open up the Word of God. Go get you a dictionary. Figure out what them words means if you don't know what they mean. Break it down. Get it real minute. Get it real small. Because when you break it down like that, it comes alive a little bit. How many of you have promised to do or try your best to do that this week? Amen. All right, that's the things I want you to do this week. And I appreciate